Welcome to God and Country Radio, a weekend program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey, exit 120 of the Garden State Parkway. As far as this week's program, every week there are news stories that illustrate the tension and the culture war happening in our nation, and not only in our nation, but also the world. We all heard about the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, Harrison Butker. He gave a commencement speech at a Catholic college, extolling the virtue of motherhood over corporate careers. Leftists and trolls in the media are calling for Butker to be fired because what he said was so offensive to the secular feminist worldview. Here's another story. A group of middle school girls in West Virginia were protesting the fact that a boy, a transgender, was allowed to compete against them in track and field. The school then banned the girls from participating in sports. Now, this happened in a school in conservative West Virginia. And notice the school board and the administration were not only on board with the whole transgender ideology, they were so on board with it that they believed it was right to persecute those who felt otherwise. Here's another story. Bethany Hamilton, the professional surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack when she was a young teen, spoke against the New World Surfing League's policy allowing transgender athletes to compete in the female category. Her major sponsor, Rip Curl, immediately dropped her and instead began sponsoring a transgender surfer, Ryan Egan, who won the men's longboard title back in 2019 and then claimed to be switching genders and started competing against women. He changed his name to Sasha Lowerson, and in 2022, Lowerson won the Women's Longboard Championship. Bethany Hamilton and others explained the strength differences between men and women in surfing is huge. But notice, these corporate owners not only totally believe in transgenderism, they want to be evangelists for it. They want to erase gender distinctions, and I suspect there is a subconscious desire for sexual liberation that's driving these people. Here's another story, queer farming. The U.S. Farm Credit Agency is promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. They must have hired a DEI officer in the agency. But the agency put out a newsletter about how they're contributing to LGBTQ+ farms and farmers, and how queer farmers can improve America's agriculture in ways that their straight counterparts cannot. So the government, the deep state, and particularly the Biden administration, believes in and is pushing for sexual liberation in America. And God is allowing all of this to be paraded before us so we can see it and learn. We know the prophecy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, that at the end of this age, God will remove his restraint, the restraint he normally puts on the proclivities of the depraved, unsaved mind. God will remove this and allow for an outbreak of evil in the world. At least I hope you know that prophecy, because it explains everything we see happening in the world. Those who don't know the prophecy come up with all sorts of erroneous explanations for the current moral decline. And the prophecy goes on to explain God's whole purpose in removing his restraint so that the innate sin and rebellion that resides in the human heart will be exposed. And so God's coming judgment will be clearly seen as justly deserved. God is going to show that all along man's goodness and man's restraint has not been his own, but God has been restraining the evil that would naturally break out. The whole world would have become Sodom and Gomorrah centuries ago if it weren't for God's restraint. But again, at the end of this age, it will be time to let mankind's sinful rebellion become fully exposed before it's judged. So let's learn from what we're seeing. Most people miss the forest for the trees. God is speaking, but since most people are not in tune with God, they don't have ears to hear or eyes to see, as Jesus said about the people in his day. Or as God told the prophet Isaiah, "Go and tell his people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand." Now, in this week's program, I want to continue discussing what I brought up last week, which was an explanation for the culture war, why some people are pro-trans, pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ, pro-Marxism, and others are not. Trump, in his campaign speech last week in Wildwood, New Jersey, said that on day one, he's going to put an end to transgenderism in sports and put an end to the Biden administration's reinterpreting of Title IX to force schools to accept boys and girls sports. Now, listening to Trump, the core difference between Trump and the left finally dawned on me. Trump holds to traditional morals and traditional law, where what is right is a function of a higher metaphysical law, the law of nature and nature's God, where doing what is right has nothing to do with people's feelings or affirmation. And this is the traditional way of thinking about law and policy. But the new moral basis for the left that has taken over the culture is that what is right is what affirms people. Up with people over law. And any law that hurts people's feelings is wrong and shouldn't be a law. So Trump will say the criminal, illegal, immigrant element should be thrown out of the country and criminals should be arrested. There should be an end to no bail, no jail. But those on the left are horrified because no one should be considered illegal or less than. Because for the left, people's self-esteem and their affirmation comes before any national identity or borders or law. Because the highest value is affirming people's will. What is right is what affirms people. And if something is not affirming people, it must not be right. Where again, in biblical law, traditional Christian morality, people's feelings don't matter. If your feelings are hurt, it's because you're the problem. But now we have this new religion coming from the left, a new morality. Now, all of this comes down to whether man is the measure of all things or there is a God who is the measure of all things. And there are a million different ways this can be described. Whether law is a function of human utility or law is a function of divine law. Whether man is a law unto himself or a man is to be under the law of God. Or whether there should be the law positivism of Oliver Wendell Holmes. Or the natural law of Robert Bork. And for the average person on the street, it comes down to whether I should follow my own feelings or submit to the Bible. But in essence, it all comes down to the basic. Who is God, you, or God? And that pretty much sums up the whole message of the Bible. That in the end, it's whether you will submit to God or whether you're going to go off and do your own thing and be your own God. And the world ends with every knee bowing to the authority of Jesus Christ, God incarnate. The Bible, Philippians chapter 2, so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now that submission to Christ will either be Christ is your Savior or Christ is your judge. But in the end, God wins and God will be God. But of course, people don't believe this. And so, therefore, we could sum up the whole controversy as belief or unbelief. And this is also how the Bible often describes it. Believers are saved and unbelievers are lost. And just recognize that belief is a function not of the intellect, but of the will. So that it can also be said, those willing to submit to God will be saved, and those unwilling will be lost. They simply join with Satan in his self-will and his disdain for God's authority. And that's the way the conflict is also described in the Bible, about people's unwillingness to come and their allegiance to Satan. What is actually the definition of evil? It's being unwilling. Evil is ultimately the actions and the character of those who choose not to conform to the righteousness of God. So let's just understand the basics here. Because in all the noise in the media, it's just easy to lose sight of the basics. What's really happening in this world is not that complicated. Now, of course, Satan and the people of this world work to muddy the waters with alternatives, complicated explanations, or they even refuse to talk about the real reasons for the ideological divisions. I mean, we certainly don't hear on the nightly news, World News Tonight with David Muir, as he continues to discuss belief in God or unbelief in God, willingness to submit to God or unwillingness, God versus man, illustrated in the political conflicts of the day. Well, of course we don't hear that, because nobody wants the real issues revealed. As C.S. Lewis wrote, indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Kingdom of Darkness doesn't really want people to actually know what they're choosing. I realize also that even conservative pundits will not touch the subject. But how can you really evaluate or understand what's happening in this world without touching on the God or no God issue? Maybe these political pundits don't know the core issue. Maybe they don't believe the core issue. Or maybe they're afraid to get too religious because then they might lose sponsors and an audience. But just realize the elephant in the room is not being talked about. Whether right or wrong is based upon feelings and your affirmation, or whether right or wrong is based upon the law of God, a law outside of ourselves. Both sides will get nowhere until this issue is really resolved and discussed. I was reading a few articles this week about political differences. Here's one from The Atlantic. What politics do to your morals? The science of how people form their political identities. Here's an article from Penn State. Americans not only divided, but baffled by what motivates their opponents. Here's an article from ABC News. Democrats are wrong about Republicans, and Republicans are wrong about Democrats. And here's a study from Pew Research. Democrats and Democrat leaners who say common sense is their primary source of guidance on what is right and wrong. But in all of these studies and articles, what's amazing is that value differences, political, moral, ideological differences are all attributed to race, economic status, prejudice, bias, but not a word about the competing source of authority either being man or God. But that's the real issue. And the Bible itself explains the real issue for the culture war. It's all about the way of the righteous, which is submission to God, versus the way of the wicked, which is rebellion against God. Now, whether people recognize this or not, this is what's actually going on in people's subconscious. This is what's determining their values, where they find their authority. But again, it's really amazing that not only is the world at enmity with God, but the unsaved world refuses to recognize or admit the real issue. I mean, why don't they just come out and say it? We don't believe in God, and even if there is a God, we believe his definitions of right and wrong agree with our definition of right and wrong, that being the affirmation of our personal desires. But no, that's the elephant that nobody dares mention, and it really gives new meaning to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness, or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. They're darkened in their understanding. Or what Jesus said in John chapter 3. Men love the darkness and they don't come to the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. And that includes the real reason for their lifestyle and political beliefs. Now, the Bible also describes the situation as the lie versus the truth, where people choose to believe a lie because they don't like the truth. So the conflict in the world can be described as truth versus lie. Jesus told Pilate he came into the world to testify to the truth, and those who are of the truth will listen to Jesus' message, and those who love the lie will not listen to Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But Romans chapter 1, verse 25, people exchange the truth of God for the lie. And in Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, at the end of the Bible, outside of heaven is everyone who loves and practices the lie. Lucifer himself created a lie to justify his own self-will and self-determination, his autonomy from God. And that's what people also do today in solidarity with Satan. Now, regarding the lies in this world, do you realize how much stuff and nonsense is circulating in academia today? For example, we all know about learning styles. It's the standard learning theory in education today. It's called VARC, Visual, Oral, Reading, and Kinesthetic Learning Styles. But do you know research has proven it is completely bogus? Neil Fleming, the founder of the theory, never did any actual research. He just assumed the reason why some students were succeeding or failing was because of learning styles. But his theories took the educational establishment by a storm because people wanted to believe different grades were based upon learning styles, rather than the old-fashioned view that students learn or don't learn based upon their own moral choice. I was also just watching a YouTube about a famous paper explaining why most published research is wrong, because researchers misunderstand statistical correlation and the p-value formula. Researchers often use wrong sample size. They assume correlation is causation. They jump to conclusions. And research result, more often than not, cannot be reproduced in following studies. It's pretty much well known that social science research comes to incorrect conclusions most of the time. Yet the latest findings are reported in the media and become the basis for political policy and morals. Well, my point is this. People put all of their trust in man and in science to explain human behavior. And not only is most of it bogus, most of it contradicts the biblical explanation. It either contradicts it or redirects the answer away from God's basic answer. Romans chapter 1, people professing to be wise become fools. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where's the wise man? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God. So God was pleased to save those who simply believe in him. God's evaluation of man's problem and the solution is what we need to turn to. And that's another description of what salvation is all about. So here's my contention. We need to be explaining to people the reason for the culture war. We need to explain to our neighbors, our family, our coworkers, the true reason for moral, political, ideological choices, that people today are judging right and wrong by their own feelings, by what affirms their egos and their desires, and that any other value that doesn't do that is labeled oppression. And that's why when someone comes along with the Christian message that God's law is what we need to submit to, immediately the Christian gets the evil eye. You're one of them. You're the problem with this world. You're one of the oppressors. Well, that's the new religion the left is replacing Christianity with. And that's where the world is going to end up in their raw rebellion against God. We need to explain all this to people, especially the opponents of Christianity. Now, of course, in sharing this message, many are still going to believe that their self-wills should determine truth. They will believe in themselves and not God. But at least they know what they're choosing and why. Our job is not to convince people of the truth. That's God's job. All God wants us to do is to explain the truth and expose the lie. And those who are of the truth will come to the truth. It doesn't matter if there's just a million or just 100,000 or 10,000 or just one. This is the pattern we see in the calling of the biblical prophets. After God called Isaiah to be a prophet to Israel, God told him that overall the people wouldn't listen. Isaiah wouldn't save the nation. So Isaiah asked, how long does he have to keep being a spokesperson for God? And God answered, Isaiah chapter 6, then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitant, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But then God assures Isaiah that there will be a tenth of the people who will continue and listen. Verse 13, then there will be a tenth portion in it. It will again be subject to burning, like the terebinth or the oak whose stump remains when it's felled. The holy seed is its stump. And this is called the righteous remnant, the minority of believers who take the narrow way that leads to life. Those who are of the truth, who come to the light, those who love God in righteousness and who turn from their sin, those who lead the kingdom of darkness for the kingdom of God, these are the redeemed, the saved, God's people. Now, biblical prophecy explains where all this is going to end up. It doesn't turn out very well for the world. Revelation 13, the whole world embraces and adores the Antichrist and his anti-God, anti-God's law agenda. But there's going to be a minority who decide to be on God's side in all this, who decide to submit to God's standard of right and wrong, which of course includes believing the gospel message that men are sinners and that Christ made atonement for our sin on the cross. So this week's program has been basic, but in all of the noise and distraction, we need to keep our focus on and explain to others the basic gospel, the basic moral choice people need to make for God, and what that means practically in regard to giving up one's own desires and ways and living under God's authority. May God grant you the wisdom and the desire to join his side. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. The extended video version of this program is on my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Check that out and subscribe. Out of all of the media you read and watch during the week, you should include a weekly Bible study to help keep your focus straight. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.